I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
In each episode, we spend the first half catching up, sharing something we've loved recently, and generally just having a bit of a chit chat. And then we go on to discuss a topic that we think is really relevant to the things that are going on right now. It could be anything. We discuss a lot of things on this podcast, but generally it will be something that helps you to grow and has that hint of self-improvement with it. If you enjoy this episode, please don't forget to hit subscribe. Leaving us a five-star review will really help others discover the podcast. And also, we're very grateful. So how are you, my love? Good morning. Happy Sunday.
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. Although I do need to figure out my new podcast setup because I'm not figured out where I'm best to record in this new place yet. I'm currently sitting on the bed, but facing the wrong way in the dark. So that's fun.
Ironically, I discovered by accident that my bed is the best place to record. And I'm not mad about it.
Yeah, maybe I'll just adopt the bed as the place to record.
It's very comfy and you have all of the cushions and stuff for sound reasons as well.
Yeah, I'm basically facing the cushions. I'm like facing the headboard. So yeah, hopefully this sounds okay. But it does mean that we have moved into our new place, which is very Yay. Exciting. We are doing the thing where we're shopping for the stuff we need for a new place. I'm very conscious that I don't want to overcommit to loads of stuff because like, it's weird moving into a place and already knowing when you're going to leave. And
yeah,
I know that we're going to have to either bring all of this stuff back to the UK next year or sell it or leave it. So it makes me very reluctant to spend money on stuff, which are essential things. Like, I was telling you before we started recording, but I was really begrudging buying an oven mitt yesterday, even though definitely need one to make food.
Yeah, that's kind of, and that's also the kind of thing that you would put off buying and then you're going to burn yourself and then you're going to lament yourself because you're going to say, why didn't I just spend the fiver on the oven mitt?
I know. And that's basically what happened. I was just using a tea towel up until that point, but then I used a tea towel that was a bit damp. And obviously we all know that's a recipe for disaster, using a damp tea towel. So yeah, this is a really thrilling conversation for the start podcast.
It is.
How are you? What have you been up to?
It's been quite a quiet week and I've just been nursing jet lag because I did this stupid thing where I had a nap mid-afternoon, but it was like a danger nap. I had this nap at like 5 p.m.
Oh,
and I slept for 2 hours, yeah, on the Monday, which is a bank holiday. And then on Tuesday night, I snuggled up on the sofa when I finished work and I did the same thing. So I've really like played myself here. But autumn has fully arrived. I left on Wednesday morning, I think it was, or Thursday morning. I can't remember. And there was that like crisp chill in the air. And I was like, oh, it's exciting. It's autumny. And I had the coziest autumn evening last night with red wine and a shepherd's pie and watching Strictly. Like, I'm here for the seasons changing.
What is it about shepherd's pie? Because I've already said to Taylor, I cannot wait to make a shepherd's pie. Like, what is it about making a shepherd? I mean, you're the same as me. Neither of us will use actual meat in the shepherd's pie. But what is it about that being? It is such a comfort food. I specifically yeah. said, I cannot wait to make it.
I think it's because it's very easy to make.
Mm.
And I pack mine. God, this again is thrilling. But I use vegan mince, but then I also put like a tin of green lentils, some carrots. Like, I pack it with a lot of veg.
Yeah.
And then it's relatively easy to make, but you still have like the comfort of mashed potato and a gravy-based meat situation. But it isn't like as cumbersome as making other stuff. Also, you get leftovers, and I do love leftovers.
Yeah, that is a good reheat. This is the first time we've had a microwave in a place since being in Croatia. I'm thrilled. We made popcorn at the weekend. It was the best.
Okay, so we don't have a microwave, and this is something that shocks people. And now we're like, should we get a microwave? Because the cost of living crisis. But then we obviously have to pay for a microwave. So it's not really like saving money per se. People are horrified that we don't have a microwave.
I mean, I wouldn't say horrified. I mean, we were surprised that nowhere had them here, but It made us realize how much we do use it for like reheating leftovers or, yeah, just things like that. I guess it's not that big of a deal. Also, baked potatoes, which I love, and I'm very lazy and I don't make them in the oven. I do make those in a microwave.
Well, I found out how much it costs to make a baked potato in the oven. So I might just get a microwave just to save the money because I love a baked potato.
Right? But they take so long to do in the oven.
Yeah, I'm not very good at thinking ahead, whereas Alex will put them in the oven at like 3 p.m. So by the time we want them, they're like fluffy and crispy and salty. And oh my God, he makes the best baked potatoes. I would marry him just for his baked potato baking skills, which I have said to him. But oh God, I'm so excited to have baked potato and mash, just all types of potato, really.
All the potatoes, yeah.
Potatoes are a superior food.
What a thrilling Sunday morning conversation.
Anyway, do you want to shout your recommendation for the week is, and we can move it on from potato chat.
Yes, so my recommendation this week is a book that I read a couple of weeks ago when we were on our intentional break, not the accident one that happened the other week. And it's called The Mercies by Kieran Millwood Hargrave.
Ooh.
And it's on, I don't know what made me pick it up. Well, no, I do know what made me pick it up. It's an island where all the men die and it's just women. And that's what made me pick it up because I was like, this is going to be a strong female book. I'm excited for it. But the story is set on a remote island off the north coast of Norway in 1617. And it's suddenly hit by a freak storm, which wipes out the island's entire adult male population who are all out at sea fishing at the time. And this kind of instant loss of all the men means that the women of the island of Vardo must, they need to learn to basically fulfill the traditional roles of men as well as women. So they teach themselves how to fish and how to hunt and farm the land. And they basically become this community of like fiercely independent women. But obviously, in the 1600s, that's very unwomanly behavior. And it draws attention to their island in kind of traditional societal sense, but also from a religious aspect. And some of the most independent women are accused of witchcraft and superstition and sorcery. And it basically divides the women between those who kind of like turn back to religion and cling to it, and those who realize that they need to fight to survive, even if that means being accused of being a witch. So a male commissioner is sent to the island to like restore order. Anyway, it all unfolds from there, and I don't think I expected to love it as much as I did, and kind of found it even more fascinating because it's inspired by true events of the sorcery and witchcraft laws that were introduced by the King of Norway in 1618. There was a very like similar crackdown on communities that had elements of like superstition and witchcraft in them. Whereas really a lot of the time, like the Sami people in Norway, they just practiced some of these, like they just had superstitions that they would like carve runes which would protect themselves when they like sailed at sea and things like that. But these laws really cracked down on any practices like that which weren't Christian, essentially. Yeah, I thought it was a really fascinating book, really interesting. It was hard to get into at first, but once the story really kind of kicked off, it was, yeah, brilliant. Really recommend it.
That doesn't sound like anything I've ever read before.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I might give that a go.
Yeah, it was really, yeah, exactly that. I haven't read anything like that before, but 100% recommend it. What's your recommendation?
Mine is part of a series on Netflix. It's called Untold, The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist.
Ooh.
And so Untold is like a new series on Netflix. And I think they are all related to sport in some way, but they're essentially untold stories. And The Girlfriend Who Didn't Exist follows the story of Manti Te'o, he's a kid growing up in Hawaii, and he loves American football. He's really into American football, and he gets a scholarship to play American football in the US at college. He's like pegged as one of the best of what are they called, like the draft for that year, all of this sort of thing, like really huge hopes for him. Everyone loves him. And I didn't like, I'd heard this before, but I didn't really realize how big collegiate football was in the US. Like, it's such a big deal. So he has like loads of press, loads of media attention. And at the same time, he is, and this is like early 2000s. And at the same time, he is on the internet, like most people of that age are. And he's chatting to people. Facebook's becoming a thing. He befriends a woman on Facebook who he seems to have a lot in common with, and they start a relationship. They never meet in person, but they start this relationship. They fall in love, and then she tragically dies. And then shortly after she dies, it all starts unraveling that actually she never even existed in the first place. And it's essentially a story of catfishing, but before catfishing was a known thing, before the like MTV catfishing. And it's just really interesting the impact it has on him and his family. It completely ruins his reputation. Everyone's saying, oh my God, you did it for the attention, for the media attention. You lied, like you're completely messed up as a human being. Why would you fake a girlfriend? And they interview him, they interview the person who posed as his girlfriend, everything. And it's really interesting to hear all the different sides of the story, how this thing escalated so far that the person pretending to be the girlfriend even got to that point in the first place and felt the need to like fake their death. It's really interesting to actually see how that interplays with the sports community and how at that time this sort of thing could happen because you didn't know better. And he said one of the things that's really been leveled at him in recent years is how stupid were you to never even meet this woman. And he's like that, but you're looking at it through the lens of a society that no catfishing is a thing. It was just absolutely fascinating. Had me and Alex completely gripped. Really challenges some of the ideas you might have around catfishing and how people get into that situation in the first place. I think it's about an hour, maybe an hour and a half on Netflix. I really recommend. There's a whole load of them as well. There's one with Caitlyn Jenner that I really want to watch because like I've had a real Kardashian Jenner revival. Can't say I'm proud of it, but I am obsessed with it. And then there's a couple of others, like about hockey teams that are run by the mafia. It's a really interesting series, but this one in particular, definitely give it a watch.
That sounds right up my street. I really want to listen to that. But that's
Yeah,
mad that
you
he
would.
got, like, how did it destroy his career? It's not his fault. Like, that's so baffling to me.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And you can see, you kind of see the step by step of how it really escalates as well. And they interview him as well and his outlook on the person who did this. And it's a really interesting example of someone who has like done the work to not hold a grudge and that level of forgiveness and all of those sorts of things. Like it's just, it's fascinating. Go watch it. And I think the response he's had to the documentary has been really positive for him and his family as well.
That's good. Because I mean,
Yeah,
that is ridiculous as well for them
fascinating.
to say about that he should have known better. One, yes, the point that you didn't, like, at that time when the internet was so new and social media was so new, obviously, how would he have known better when it's a brand new experience? But also, people are still meeting and having relationships with online, with people online they meet, like, they never meet them. That's still happening now. Like, why is
Yeah.
that so shocking to people? It's like a story as old as the internet.
Yeah, exactly. And the way this was done was that the girlfriend, quote unquote, was friends with like cousins of other people he knew. So it wasn't like it was the most ridiculous thing in the world. So yeah,
Okay, I'm gonna have to give that
definitely
a
worth a
watch.
watch. Yeah, we're gonna work our way through the rest of the Untold series as well.
So this week's topic is a little bit of a different one because it's very dependent on your own personal habits and mindset and routines. But we wanted to chat about finding your flow and how you can optimize your work day to get the most out of your flow state. And honestly, I always thought like your flow state sounded a bit woo-woo, but it's basically the same thing as being in the zone. And it started off as, I think it started off as a term for athletes, and it's an actual psychological term that describes it being in a positive state of peak performance. But now it's kind of used to describe anyone who's in that kind of positive, focused state where someone's performing an activity and they're fully immersed and it's like energized, focused, and you feel fully involved and you're enjoying the process that like you don't realize that time is passing you by. And I feel like we've all experienced that feeling at some point, but in this episode, we wanted to chat about why finding your flow can be really helpful in your day and also how to find it more so you can be more productive and kind of optimize your day to day.
This is a concept that I actually didn't know had a name until you mentioned it a couple of months ago. And I think we've all had those days where, like, you're just in the zone. It's that kind of like effortless attention. It's like there are no distractions. You can focus, you can achieve so much, and it feels brilliant when you're there. But when you like told me it had a name, I was like, oh, okay, cool, because that means it's something that you can replicate. Because up until that point, I was like, oh, it's great when I feel like that, but I didn't know it was a thing. And I think if you understand how you can create a kind of an optimum environment, you're more likely to get into that flow state and achieve what you want to do. And I think especially for something like work, or if you have personal projects you want to kind of do stuff on, it's really helpful, but it can also be quite meditative as well, I find.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different angles to it. Like not only is it great for under like great for your productivity, but it's also great for understanding what your optimum working conditions are. And that could be like physical, mental, emotional. Like it could be something super practical, like working out when you perform best in the day. Like essentially, are you a morning person or an evening person? Or it could be like turning off notifications so there's less distractions. Or it could be more like mindset based, like overcoming fear of failure or procrastination, or this is what I mean why it's so different for every single person. But like you said, if once you're aware, when you're aware that it exists, then you can try and figure out how it works best for you.
Yeah, I think if you want to kind of get into that flow state, if you want to get into that state of mind, sorry if you can hear the birds outside having a nice sing song, then one of the most important things to do is work out what your goal is for that period of time. It's so much easier to focus and like stay on track when you have a clear goal. And it might be that it's to start on a presentation. It might be that it's to clear your inbox. It might be that you go to the gym and you're like, I just want to have like the best workout I've had in a long time and hit some personal bests. If you know what that goal is, then you can kind of focus in on it more easily. I think when you have a really long to-do list with lots of very different types of tasks, it makes it harder to get into that kind of one channel because you're kind of dipping between something quite admin based to something quite creative or something that requires collaboration and then working alone. And you almost don't give yourself the opportunity to get into a mindset where you can just focus.
I mean, I think this is why like multitasking is a bit of a myth because multitasking can feel productive. And I have no doubt if you're holding your kid while you're putting a wash on and you're cleaning the kitchen, yes, that's multitasking and it 100% is a skill and it is productive. But if we're talking about like work or a big project or something that needs your full brain to focus on, swapping between tasks just means your brain has to readjust every single time you change the task. Like if you're focusing on a project and then you see an email pop up and then you answer the email and it's about something unrelated and then you try and go back to the thing you were working on before and it's harder to get into that task again because you've had the disruption by something completely unrelated.
I think if you've identified when you do certain tasks best in the day, then that's a really great place to start, because then you can understand, like, okay, how can I remove the distractions of emails in the morning if I know that I get my admin done, like, best first thing in the morning? Like, personally, I know that the morning is where I, like, tick off as much as possible, all the little jobs, all the little things that might, like, pop into my brain that I go, oh crap, I need to do that later. Get rid of all of that, clear the inbox, write out the to-do list. And then the afternoon is where it's a bit quieter and I can go, okay, I'm going to sit down and create that presentation, or I'm going to, I don't know, read through CVs of applicants for jobs or whatever it is, those kind of jobs that require me to get into the zone for a longer period of time and focus on one task. And maybe you're someone who actually, you hate the mornings, you're not a morning person, it takes you a while to get going. So the morning is where you go, do you know what, I'm not going to do all those admin tasks where I need to, like, quickly do stuff. I'm just going to sit down, I'm going to give myself some time to relax into a project, or this is when I'm going to work out and do yoga, because actually it's a more relaxing time for me, whatever it is. I think when you know that, it's far easier to remove the distractions, because you know you're still going to attend to those things later.
This is why it's so important to understand how you, like, your brain works best, because I know that we're both morning people, but whereas you prefer to do admin and get loads of those small things done, my morning's like my most creative time, so that's when I will sit down and, like, write for 2 hours, whereas my admin tasks are, like, the things that I need less of the brain power for when I'm tired, so I do them at the end of the day. So I think it's, but then I feel like that's an important part of it, because as well as having clear goals to, like, access your flow state, I think it's important to choose the, like, I don't want to say tasks that you enjoy. I think that is a big factor in it, especially if you're doing something that's like a hobby, like, say if it is going to the gym, or say if it's knitting, or I don't know, something like that that you enjoy. Also, I think more so choosing a task that you feel positively challenged by.
Yeah.
Because then it's that, and I remember reading about this in James Clear's Atomic Habits, where he says you should push yourself 15% above your usual comfort zone. And that's the optimum level of challenge, to feel, like, positively challenged by something, to push yourself slightly, but it's still within the realm of achievement. And I feel like that's a really important aspect of finding your flow, because you're like, oh, this is a little bit harder than usual, I'm crushing it. And then it motivates you to carry on and do more. And that's how you end up, you're like, oh God, I've been doing this for 2 hours and I didn't even realize, because it's just been flowing so well.
Yeah. I do think, though, it's important to remember that it isn't necessarily about the length of time you're in flow state, because I think this is the trap I used to fall into, where I thought that I had to have, like, 2, 3, 4 hours of being in this mindset where nothing could distract me. And I think what I've realized more recently is the outcome is more important than the amount of time. So, like, I could be in that flow state for half an hour, but say within that time I plan all of my content for the next 6 weeks or something, that is better than being in a flow state for, like, that, not better, but it's no, being in that flow state for 2 hours wouldn't have necessarily been more beneficial to me. And I, one of the things I've realized about myself is that I like a bit of time pressure. I work better under a bit of time pressure. If I say, okay, you've got half an hour to knock this thing out of the park, then that really helps me drive in that focus. It's like the, what's it called? The Pomodoro method. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to get one of these, like, you can get them for your desk, they're, like, circular. I mean, you could use your phone, but the reason I liked this was because it's, there's obviously no other distractions. It's like a circular timer, you put it on your desk, you tap it, and it will, like, time you to do a task. And when I stayed at my dad's a couple of weeks ago dog sitting, he has one of these on his desk, and I was like, oh, I'm just gonna try it. And I used it for a day, and oh my god, to have something that's, like, counting down, so you've got that constant, like, awareness of how long you've got left.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no distractions of, like, notifications coming in, or, like, a shrill sound at the end that, like, makes you jump. It just almost is like, actually, I've only got 15 minutes left. Let's just stay in the zone. It's 15 more minutes. I can do this. That really helped me.
I think that's really important, but also like not to be put off. So getting into your flow state, from everything that I've read about it, it's like it takes practice to get into your flow state, and a big part of it is setting up almost like a trigger routine. So for me, that is like I get up, I have a glass of water, I wash my face, I journal for like 5 minutes, read a bit of a non-fiction book in the morning, and then I'm like in my flow, like ready to go and write for a couple of hours. When you're trying to figure out what your flow state is, I wish I could remember what the exact number. I want to say on average it takes like 22 minutes or something for people to get into their flow state. That obviously speeds up way more once you're used to it and you know like what triggers it or what tasks really like you thrive with in your flow state. So like for you, you know that you're going to do this task and you're going to get it done in half an hour and you know you're going to smash it out. That's great. But if you've never really like thought about your flow state before, don't be put off if you're not getting into it instantly. You're not like getting into it within 5 minutes. So that's, I do feel like it's something that you need to figure out. And it all is based on your personal habits and how long it takes you to just get into that zone a bit more.
Yeah. I think a couple of really useful things I've definitely found, because I don't love working in silence. I find working in silence weirdly distracting. I don't know if anyone else finds that. So there's a couple of playlists I use on Spotify, and I'll leave the name of them in the show notes, because it's a certain type of music that is designed to help you get into that state of mind of like real focus.
The binaural
beats.
So
I always use, that's it. That's what they're called.
Yeah, they are specifically designed for your flow state.
Yeah, so I put those on. So the second I start hearing that, I'm like, right, that's almost like the habit trigger of this music means that I'm doing this. And I've done it with a few things. Like I have a piano playlist I play before bed so that my mind is like, right, this playlist means you're winding down. Which generally I've just found really useful because I am someone who loves music and is always listening to music. But that's really helpful. The other thing is, and I'm sure you can do this on other devices, but Apple have just done another update for iOS, which means that not only can you have multiple focus modes on your phone, but you can now also do it so it affects the lock screen on your phone. So I've set up like lots of different ones. So I have one that's called like personal. So before 8:30 in the morning, all I can see on my phone, unless I like actively go in and try and find something, is positive affirmations and what the weather's going to be like today and the time, obviously. But I've set one up specifically for like 9 to 5 working hours, which is more focused on like, because I need my phone for work. It allows me to use my phone still, but it kind of blocks all of my app notifications that I won't need. It doesn't have like loud alerts on it, all of those sorts of things that just help to reduce distractions in the first place. So that if I'm trying to get into that flow state, I've already set myself up for more success.
Yeah, I think that's a really big one. Like make it easy for yourself to focus, whether that is using that feature on iOS, whether it is just putting your phone in another room or having a tidy desk or like whatever it might be for you. I mean, for some people, it might be like meditation or mindfulness, or it might be going for a run to like clear your mind and feel more focused before you start tasks. Like, and I know it's not super helpful to sit here and say, oh, it's so different for everyone, but it is. I think just once you can start paying attention to those triggers and then those scenarios that help you, like when you have a really productive day, think about what did I do today that helped me get into, like what did I do differently from other days that made it feel like I really achieved a lot today.
I'd also say like experiment with different things, but don't wait until you're on a really tight deadline. Like if you're like, God, I've got to do something and I've got to get into flow state, if you're putting that pressure on yourself and you don't know how you get there, it's just more stressful. But try it on like a random Tuesday afternoon. Maybe it is listening to a certain type of music. Maybe it is sitting in a different place. I sometimes find that like if I sit in the same seat all day long, I almost get like a visually bored. So I need to mix it up. So maybe it's that you have like you go sit on the sofa when you're doing admin, but then you sit at a desk when you're doing certain type, whatever it is, play around with different ideas so that when it counts, you can kind of access that flow state much faster than you would normally be able to.
Yeah, because that's the whole point of this. Like, you shouldn't feel stressed about trying to get into flow state, like pressured to try and do it. And some days it just won't work. Some days just you've got a lot on your mind, things are going on, you need to deal with different things that come up, and that's just how it is. But being in the zone and in your flow regularly can be really good, I guess. I don't want to say for your mental health, but in terms of your own like self perception, I guess.
I think
Like,
it's reassuring. You
well,
know you
because,
can do it when you need to.
but also the more that you're in flow and you see how much you achieve and how like successful it is for you, it kind of promotes those feelings of fulfillment and motivation. And then I mean, it's that classic, it's just like the instinct response, isn't it? Your brain feels those things and it's like a reward, isn't it? And then you're encouraged to do it more, or your brain tries to achieve that more. That's why it will get easier the more that you do it. But like you said, it's don't put the pressure on yourself to do it when you're really close to a deadline or something like that, because then you'll have the opposite effect where you kind of associate it with negative feelings.
Yeah, give yourself a fighting chance, I guess. We hope you found this helpful. I think once you start to understand what like a flow state is and how you can access it and how there are different ways to try and approach it. It's definitely reassuring. It definitely really helps. And it can just elevate whatever you're doing. So I hope that this has been really helpful for people. If anyone has any tips or advice on how they get into their flow state, please do get in touch on our Instagram page or drop us an email. All the contact details are in the show notes as per usual. But we hope you have a brilliant week. We will be back next Wednesday with a new episode. And yeah, have a great week. Bye.
Bye.